It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. I wouldn't give you a long one, but my Tubbs lost yesterday. It kind of took some of the air out of my sail. We'll see the Clippers, but the Niners get the win. Very important victory for the Niners. 4-4 on the season. Three-way tie for first place in the NFC West. Brock played well. How about Shanahan's game plan? Deebo Samuel. Ooh, he had a game. George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day. Fred was good. Bosa was great. Defense stepped up. The young secondary is coming along. A big win over the hated Dallas Cowboys. Now, I got Harry there after the most complete quarter of the season for the 49ers. Maybe their red zone walls are rectified here, but we're talking about it here on the Morning Roast. 888-957-957. Gerald, we can squeeze in some warrior calls as well. But Shaq, you can get that mic on because I want to hear from you. Niners win in what looked like an electric atmosphere at Levi Stadium.
Yes, great Niner victory. Also, you should be reeling a little because your Yankees are down.
We should all be really because that means the Dodgers are two wins away from winning the World Series.
I still think the Yanks can pull this out.
They can. But the most important game is, obviously, you know when I went down the rabbit hole Saturday night? Mike Francesa. Formerly a WFAN, he has a Mike Francesa podcast.
Yeah, he does it immediately after the game.
So I was locked in on game two. Yeah. It was like I was a Yankee fan listening to Mike Francesa.
Back after this.
Dude, no, but he was breaking it down. Now, the history is, 96, Yankees were down 2-0, and they go down to Atlanta, and Joe Torre told me, this is my town. We will win this series. And they won four straight, so it can be done. It can be done, but you got to win game. And then he goes, we'll get to Aaron Judge. And Judge, 1 of 9, 6 strikeouts in the World Series. I don't know if that's a good Mike Francesa, but
but whatever. Aaron Boone, Joe Torre, I mean, just a little different there.
Yeah, Aaron Boone, the trickle down effect to take it out, Garrett Cole. What the hell are you doing?
Freddie Freeman hitting a walk off home run Friday night. It was one of the greatest, honest to God, as a neutral observer, it's one of the greatest postseason games I've ever seen. In terms of star power,
it was unbelievable.
And so many different moves that happened. I know, like, today's about the Niners and Cowboys, but I am got an eye on that.
Golf swing by Giancarlo Stanton. It was he's watching it go in Dodger Stadium. Joe Davis on the call. Gibby, meet Freddie. That was great. That was awesome. It was a great call. How about Dave Fleming having a call?
It was incredible. Gleyber Torres hitting a ball that the fan, like, we don't even know if it goes out or in or what.
I don't think it was going to go out.
I don't either, but you never know.
What a dumb Dodger fan.
And then he's with his kid.
That was just dumb.
I'll go, oh, boy, he's with his kid.
You're
a
Dodger fan.
You got to get out of there.
Be aware of the situation. Your team is against the ropes. Anyway, but Boo taking out Cole early. You shoot through your bullpen. Holmes was not good. You use Cato. I mean, it's just unbelievable how bad Boo was.
Bets on Friday night? We'll get back into Niners Cowboys. If I gave you the choice, you get Shohei out, okay? Do you have an open base? Do you walk Betts with Nestor there? Or do you, like, does he want to go lefty on lefty? Or do you pitch to Freeman? My thing is, if you're going to pitch to Freeman, you don't throw him in. You throw him away. He's got a hurt ankle. Make him drive the ball away. I don't know why they're throwing him in.
Or why are you throwing a pitcher out there who hasn't pitched in 37 days? I mean... Come on.
By the way, Nestor Cortez, or Mookie Betts' lifetime against Nestor Cortez, 0 for 5 with a strikeout.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, this is where the advanced data guys, like, righty on lefty and da-da-da-da. I don't know. Like, again, to me, in those situations, both lineups, it's pick your poison. Like, you want to go, you want to face Judge, you want to face Soto, you want to face Betts, you want to face Freeman. Like, both are tough matchups.
Gleyber Torres giving up the 90 feet by not charging the ball to second base on the Shohei Ohtani double. You got to be, come on, urgency, now. Come on, man.
And then
you
Rizzo,
can't do that.
Rizzo's got to be
backing it up.
Trailing the play if the pitcher's going to be backing up third base. It was bad all the way around. And Shohei Ohtani, great base running to get a free 90.
Now, you can't win the World Series in game one, but you certainly could lose one. You certainly could ask the Oakland A's in 1988. You can lose a World Series in game one. That's for damn sure. So the Yankees, their backs are against the wall. Aaron Judge, the only one not hitting. Look at this. I love our listeners. 415 Comcast Business Sex Line. How about Barcelona beating Real Madrid 4-0? I'm telling you, Kylian Mbappe at Real Madrid, he...
Tough scene. Lamine Yamal, though, the 17-year-old who was 16 when they won the Euro Cup for Spain. He's sick. Robert Lewandowski's just aging like fine wine.
Dude, he's so good. He's so good. So that's our soccer talk.
I want to get back into the Niners.
You don't want to get into soccer?
I'm a big number guy. I'm a big number guy. And 14 is an interesting number in 49er history. Can you name, without Googling, just some of the best number 14s in 49er history?
Sean Hill.
Sean Hill wore 13.
Did he wear 13? Do we have any good 14s?
Well, Kasim Osgood was...
Oh, my God. Yeah, there are a lot of forgettable 14s.
JT O'Sullivan.
Another forgettable 14.
The Hall of Famer, Y.A. Tittle.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Even though his career was more made with the New York Giants.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's a very bad number in the last 40, 50 years.
It's a bad number, period.
Well, Ricky Pearsall looks good in it.
Bless me. I have a feeling Ricky Pearsall will be changing that number next season.
You don't think that's a long-term number for him?
No.
You think he's at a single-digit number, an 80s number?
Single-digit number or a 9. Well, Cowie's 19 now. I don't know if 14's good. I don't like 14 on the wide receiver. I like 13. I like 11. 17's not bad. 19's pretty cool. I don't like 14. I don't. Like, I'm kind of with the 5-3 on the Comcast Business Text Line. 14 is the number reserved for the first-string quarterback on the roster. You're kind of right.
He was much better in this game. And, you know, Greg Cosell, we were actually in the thread yesterday talking about it. And Greg Cosell was much higher on him. Hey, look, I said in the thread, like, I trust his eyeballs. This guy does this for a living. And I think about it, and I go to myself like, all right, well, if that's what Greg Cosell thinks, I wasn't that impressed with him. Let's see what he does this week. He was really good this week. Really good this week.
Jim Druckenmiller. Wow. Jim Druckenmiller, 14. Also, Sam Darnold was number 14.
Probably the most famous, yeah, Y.A. Tittle, Dan Fouts, the other one.
Dan Fouts, yeah. That's a good call.
His autogram.
They were showing Dan Fouts a lot of love during the Oregon-Illinois game on Saturday as college football was ramping
up. Looks good.
Oregon looks great. Oregon looks great. Dan Lanning, I like Dan Lanning. Let's go to the lines. All right, we'll get to David Frenzel in just a second, but Jacob in Castro Valley has it rot for us. I'm here for the rat song, Jacob. Okay. What do you got for me, Jacob?
What's up, guys? Good talking to you. I was there with you guys on the Breakfast with Baldy.
Oh, nice.
That was an honor.
Oh, yeah, Jacob, you work on the, is it the refrigerators?
Yeah, with the Local 38.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I like you, Jacob. Yeah,
shout
you're a good
out
dude.
Local 38.
Yeah, you make that big money, man. I need to do what
sir.
You do.
Everybody was all doom and gloom on Friday with the Niners, and I was like, bro, what is going on here? It's Niners Cowboys. So
I know. It's
I was
so
like, I need to hype everybody up.
Hey, you know, Jacob.
I know.
Real quick, Jacob, I was so disappointed in 49er fans last week. And I'm borderline disappointed today because I see a lot of texts. Well, they haven't beat anybody. La, 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 la. They haven't beat anybody. Blah, blah, blah. They haven't beat anybody. Jacob, I'm a little disappointed in Niner fans right now. I'm not going to lie to you, Jacob.
Yeah, it was kind of annoying, honestly, hearing all the. I don't know. It was just doom and gloom. It's like, look, we've been 3-4 before. It's still early. We're going to come back. Don't worry about it. Like, have some faith. Where's the faith? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wrote this rap on Friday, and I just didn't have time to call in. But I was like, hey, it's still a good time to say it, you know, after a win. If you're down.
Let's go. Let's go. Do you need a beat? Or are you going a cappella?
Nah. So actually, if you can imagine the song SF Anthem by San Quinn, I don't know if you know that beat. But that's what I had in my head when I was writing
Jacob,
this.
Jacob, we could put you on hold. We could find that instrumental for you.
No. It's all right, good. All right, it's all good. I'm going to spit this a cappella. All right. Welcome to the Bay, the home of the Niners. Ain't no better fans. Yeah, we some grinders. From Candlestick to Levi's, you know where to find us. Haters can't talk. because we some real winners. Faithful to the gray, red and gold is what I bleed. Got nothing else to prove. A ring is all we need. We got the team to do it. And Shanny, we believe. With Purdy at the center, our goal will be achieved. No matter the contender, step to us in any weather. Playing chess, not checkers. Ooh. Chemo put you in the blender. Throw it up the middle to our boy George Kittle. Best hands in the league. He'll make you look little. When you come to our house, this is grown man ball. Give Debo the rock. Number one never falls. Run it to the left, then you hit a brick wall. That's big boy Trent to answer the call. He'll knock you on your back. You think you got a stack, but McCaffrey got wheels. He out there running track. You'll find us in the end zone, boy, that's a fact. You try to score back, but ain't nobody warned you. We got a secret weapon in his name, Fred Warner. He wants that ball, and he'll get it by any means. Ooh. This is what you get when you step to our team. Don't come to the Bay, because the Niners crush some dreams.
Oh my gosh. Duke and Linfield, you got competition, buddy. There's a new contender for Rap of the Year. There's a new contender, folks. Ding, 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 ding. Jacob and Castro Valley. I didn't think Castro Valley had it in them. I didn't think they had it in them. Jacob and Castro Valley. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my Lord. Woo. Uh-oh. We got a Doobie Award nominee. Shasky, that was bad.
I'm already searching out venues for the Doobie Awards. No, we're not doing it at a gentleman's club.
Stop it.
Because we don't have a venue big enough for everyone.
Oh, they got a gentleman's club this big. They got two levels at Broadway Centerfolds. We can do it upstairs or downstairs.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can have
people
job.
In the balcony just over. Like, oh, it could be unbelievable. Two levels? The real award shows.
I'll throw some of my ideas at you at the break. I don't know if you guys know this. Great rap there. I love that. That was the third straight game with 2+ picks for Dak Prescott. He had 9 interceptions all last year.
I know. It's not a well-coached team. It's not a well-coached team. Will they be all in on Ben Johnson from Detroit? They need an offense. Their offense is not innovative. It's pretty vanilla. Their running game is non-existent. They quit on a running game.
If you're Ben Johnson and you've already said no to a job last year, you've got some gumption to you, right? I think that ownership matters, and you clearly have options. Why would you want to work for Jerry? That seems like you're inviting. Unless you grew up a Cowboys fan, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that happen. But I guess I wanted to ask you more about Dak and the finances. He's a $60 million quarterback, and there was a lot being made about him being a $60 million quarterback. And when he's making $60 million, you can't afford other things, right? And that's why you got Zeke playing running back yesterday. Are you a little hesitant every week this year as you're watching to just shell out money for Brock Purdy?
I'm not there yet. I mean, he's going to get paid what he wants to get paid.
It doesn't make you think a little?
I'm kind of living in the moment. Obviously, it's there with the Purdy contract. But I'm not there yet. I'm not there thinking about next year. I'm kind of living in the moment here. Now, the Cowboys did what they had to do, and I don't get why they extended Dak Prescott, because they have a lot more data on Dak Prescott and what he's done with the Cowboys in that uniform. He's been there for a very long time, nearly a decade. Well, Brock Purdy, I think he's a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. I think he sees it better than Dak Prescott. I think he does more than Dak Prescott. And he has mastered this Shanahan system. So, no, I don't worry about the 50 to 60 to 40 million. Not right now. Not for me to worry right now. I got to see the season play through. That's what the season's all about, is to see whether or not Brock Purdy is worth all that money. And Brock Purdy doing less or doing more with less.
Well, that's a side mission to the bigger mission, which is win the Super Bowl, right? Like, the big mission is win the Super Bowl. Then you have this side mission, which is like, find out what you think Brock's worth. But I guess I'm looking at it this way. Where
he's worth what the market tells you he's worth.
No. The market's going to dictate what he's worth. My point was like, You kind of hit it on the head. I do think Dak is good. Not great. I think he's good. I think Purdy's a little better. I think where it gets tough and for me is like players 5 through 10, 11, 12 at quarterback on any given week can play like a top 4 quarterback and also can play like a bottom you know, 12, or not bottom 12, but the lower end of that bell curve. And I think it's really hard to justify week in, week out that they're worth $55-60 million. Whereas, like, those upper echelon guys, Josh Allen and Lamar, like, even Herbert. Like, I'm watching Herbert. I'm like, you know, he's good.
Yeah.
He's not that good.
You know how I feel about Herbert.
I know. And I'm kind of probably closer to where you are now than I was at the beginning of the year. Like, but they also don't have great weapons. But it's also tough to have expensive weapons when the quarterback's making that much.
No doubt.
I'm going around in circles on the Purdy thing.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, he's going to, is he consistent? I look for consistency.
I didn't think he good was games? In the first half.
He wasn't, but he turned it around at halftime.
I agree.
Turned third it around at halftime. And you know what? You got to think about chemistry. As we figure out the Golden State Warriors and roles and depth and who's coming in first, who's coming in last, the starting unit, whether or not the starting five is going to be the starting five next week or the week after, it's hard to build chemistry when guys are in and out of the lineup. Brandon Ayuk, no training camp. Now he's out for the season. Ricky Pearsall, 6 practices. All right?
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? No chemistry. Jacob Cowing, how many passes did he throw to Jacob Cowing? Deebo Samuel, you know, he's missed a game. George Kittle's missed a game. So it's hard to build chemistry. Christian McCaffrey hasn't been there.
Yeah.
So now you're throwing to Jordan Mason. All of a sudden, Jordan Mason's a little nicked up. And now you're throwing to Isaac Garrido, who missed an extended time in the preseason and training camp due to the hamstring injury. So he's trying to build chemistry with guys who's been – Juwan Jennings. I didn't even mention Juwan Jennings. Yeah, he's missed the last 2 games. Yeah. So chemistry has been tough to gain for Brock Purdy because a lot of guys have been in and out of the lineup. Yet – you see the graphic yesterday. He's leading the league in passing yards.
And he was, I think, 3rd in the league in running?
Yeah, it was pretty fascinating to see the numbers still up there for Brock Purdy despite all the turnover at these skill positions. So,
he is on pace to basically rush for about 500 yards.
Which is pretty damn good. Key rush on 3rd and 3.
Oh, that was incredible.
After he scored up 13-10, he gets a scramble on 3rd and 3, goes out of bounds there on the left sideline. It was a great play by Brock Purdy, so he's using his legs. He had as many rushing yards as the Cowboys did as a team.
I thought Zeke actually ran better than I thought he would, but they didn't run it well as a team.
He's
but
got
I'm
a flat
saying,
tire.
Like, I expect nothing from Zeke, and he ran a couple for like 3 or 4 yards. I was like,
I mean, they're running.
How about
cages.
Their fullback draw on the one play that Warner just snuffed out? What are you doing?
The team's not well coached. So Brock Purdy right now, he's 4th in the league despite having all this turnover. 4th in the league in passing yards, right? Then you look at yards per attempt. He's 4th in the league there with 8.7 yards per attempt, all right? He's 4th in the league in passing yards per game. Right, so the season hasn't been all that bad for Brock Purdy. It seems like it's been a lot worse than we make it out to be. Now, the completion percentage is down to 21. He's at 64.5%. But, again, I attribute that to some of his bad decision-making, holding on to the ball too long, but also guys just being in and out of the lineup. That's natural.
You know how Guru has the 2 scoreboards?
Yep.
So, like, I was thinking about this long and hard, like, in these sports seasons now, whether it's the Warriors, the Giants, the Niners, doesn't matter. Like, I look at it like a video game. I played Grand Theft Auto, so GTA, right? You're on a mission in GTA, and the mission is for any of these teams, like, for the Warriors, make the playoffs, right? The Niners was, like, win the Super Bowl. I think the mission has kind of changed a little. Now it's, like, win the division and make the playoffs. We'll go from there. But as you're going along on these missions, you know, there's all these side missions that happen where you got to collect all these little collectibles. Right. You're like, I see that over there. Let me go grab that while I'm on this other mission. And I feel like one of those side missions is I'm assessing what's going on with Purdy as we're going along here. Not that it's the end all be all, but
you assess the quarterback.
It's just in my mind as we're watching these.
But I'm not gonna me personally when I'm and this is kind of like living in the moment and celebrating the wins and kind of not worried about what the money part's gonna take care of itself. We'll get there. Once the season's over, it's going to be all about the money, and we're going to drive all ourselves crazy about it. Right now, I'm watching football. I want to win games. I want to see how they make this journey to January, how they get into the playoffs, what they do in the playoffs. So my calibration has to change. I'm still expecting a Super Bowl run here from the 49ers with all this talent. But in terms of what he's going to get paid, we wasted time talking about it before training camp, wasted time talking about it during training camp. I'm talking about winning a game against the damn Dallas Cowboys and going on a run here. So whether you get 60, 50, 40 million, that stuff's going to work itself up. I'm not going to, to me, it's irrelevant in late October.
No, I hear you. I, It's the hard part for me with Purdy is that when he trusts what he's seeing in front of him and believes in it, he's rhythmic, he's decisive, he's on point, he hits his back foot, and he rips it. If he doesn't, you know, like what he sees when he hits that back foot, he's quickly going through his progressions, and boom, he's hitting guys accurately. It felt like the third quarter was that. Which is like, hey, we could put up points on anyone with just about any of the combination of personnel players. When he's a little indecisive, he just looked a tick off yesterday, and the accuracy was a tick off because it felt like he was ever so hesitant. Right. That's all, just ever so hesitant.
We also forget that he's in his third year in the league. Second full season as a starter. He's still a very young quarterback.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? I think we forget that. I think the way we discuss Purdy, it's like he's been in this league for 8 years and he's done this and he's done that. He's had a lot of success early on in his career, but then we put it into perspective, he's still only in his third year in the league and his second full season as a starter. So there's going to be some bumps in the road. Everything's not going to be perfect. Last year was a dream season. He's going to have tough games. You got to recalibrate sometimes and kind of put it into perspective. Like Lamar Jackson his third year. Pardon me. He took some steps back. Josh Allen took some steps back in his fourth year. You know, Mahomes wasn't all pretty for Mahomes last season. Things happen. We still have a very young quarterback on our heads. And I think the best is yet to come for Brock Purdy. I really do.
No, I agree that he is like, he's got a lot. I think he has room to grow too, where he can only learn more about other defenses. I was just saying it looked like his confidence or his decision making or, you know, what he was seeing. He just looked a little hesitant, slow in the first half. And then that's what made the third quarter so explosive. It's like, oh, that was the old Purdy. And I was like, all right, good. Whew, we're back. Cause I was getting worried there.
And it's some great schemes by Shanahan. Let's go to the lines. Dave in Fresno. Hey, Dave. You're rising up my rankings, man. You're one of my favorites, Dave.
Oh, man, that's an honor, Dante. Hey, old baby. My phone's blowing up. I said, they're looking for you, man. Hey, look. That's funny you're looking for me, man. You wanted to celebrate. I ain't going to rain on your parade today, bro. You beat the Cowboys.
No, please do. Hey. No. I just want you to be real.
What's up?
Tell me how you feel, Dave. How do you really feel about the 49ers? I want to hear the real.
Hey, I always keep it real. Sometimes y'all can't handle the real, but I'll keep it real. What I found out yesterday and what I know is that we can beat the bad teams. We have yet to prove yet. I'm saying yet. I ain't saying we can't yet to beat the good team. So we're going to have a tough stretch coming up. Got the Packers. Got the Bills. All I want to say is you better old baby on Monday after them two games and look for me after them two games. Because if you want to celebrate today, like, have at it, bro. Like, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. Like, we beat the Cowboys. Like, you know, like, we 4-4, dog.
Dave, are
like,
you a Niner fan?
What's up?
You a Niner fan?
Hell yeah. We want the same thing, Bonte.
Right.
That's crazy. Me and you want the same thing.
Right.
What do you want?
I'm not a fake optimist. I don't root this. They're 1-8. I'm gonna root for them no matter what. You know, like no. If I see some suspect, I'm gonna call it out.
Let me ask you this,
like,
Dave.
It's okay,
Dave. What's let up? Me ask you this.
What's up?
What does it mean to you, the fact that the Niners are 14-1? In the months of November and December, the last two seasons, and 24-7 in those 4 years, AFC NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. That mean anything to you that they play their best football in November and December?
That's history, bro. What they gonna do for you this year?
It's a trend. It's a track record.
Let me ask you this. You can hang up on me.
I'm not gonna hang up on you.
And you're an Eddie Barlow fan, right? You respect Eddie Barlow?
Eddie DeBarlow, I love Eddie D.
What do you think? How do you think if he was running this team, what would it be going through his head right now?
Oh, he'd be going crazy. Jed York has a different way of going crazy. Jed York wants the same thing Eddie D does. He does. I think we underroot that. We get on Jed for a number of things, but Jed wants to win too, Dave. Don't get it twisted. These guys want to win bad.
I understand. All I'm saying is there's a certain expectation. Like I said, we won yesterday, and that's great. That's fine. Like I said, we got some tough games coming up. let's revisit this conversation.
You got not one positive to take away from yesterday.
I'll say this. Hey, Shannon had a good game yesterday.
There you go. There you go, Dave. That wasn't hard. That wasn't hard at all. Took you 3 minutes. That wasn't hard.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
See, I celebrate sports, man. Like, Lebatory, I got to pull this out. Because we just live in misery. Doom and gloom. And I wasn't calling out TC. I'm calling out Robin San Bruno. Can we give credit when credit is due?
Are you serious?
Is it that hard, folks? That's your old damn team that you root for. Did Dave sound like he was a Niner fan, Chesky?
Not really.
Not really? You just beat the Cowboys. We used to fuss on beating the Cowboys no matter what. Dave Campbell was coaching the Cowboys. The Niners came back and beat them 31-27 with 2 late touchdowns. And you know what? The Cowboys didn't make the playoffs, but I celebrated anyway like we won the damn Super Bowl because it was against the Dallas Cowboys. Come on, Niner fans. These new age Niner fans are killing me here.
Dak gun Dak.
Come on, man. More coming up. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Kevontae Turpin, it's intercepted. Prescott was getting rushed as he threw. And in the back, Jair Brown comes up with the pick. 3rd and 4, Prescott moves the pocket, throws on the run. Sideline! Going up to grab it. Is he inbounds? Yamador Lenore ruled inbounds. A spectacular interception by Lenore.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network. And you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. 95.7 The Game.
Oh, baby, Baldy, join us tomorrow at 7:30. Baldy at 7:30 tomorrow here on The Roast. Good morning to everybody out there. 888-957-9570 is the number. And don't forget, if you don't bring it, if you're going to call in, you better bring it. Dave's lucky he didn't get flushed there. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. Don't forget, call it to The Roast and you come weak. You will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water, Plumbing and Drain. Don't forget, most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring Too Short, who's in the building at the Warriors game yesterday.
Where is Ja?
I wonder if Ja Rule will be at the Warriors game Tuesday and Wednesday. Every time there's a lady. Did you like that one, Shasky? Every time there's a lady. Baby.
Are you going to dress as Ja for Halloween?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know what? I'm gonna be Kristoff for Halloween.
Oh, nice.
Baby Ted's gonna be Elsa. And it's gonna be Anna.
I'm dressing up as 2022 Andrew Wiggins. An astronaut.
Yeah, you better leave
deep cut.
Better leave Wiggins alone. I'd leave Wiggins alone.
We're going to be a family of astronauts.
August 8th.
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
That was August 8th. Hell, I may have said it before that. We just didn't get to drop. But a lot of apologies coming towards Andrew Wiggins so far this season. By the way, both those DJ Quick also will be there.
Nice.
Friday at the SAP Center, November 1st. That's coming up this Friday. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Let's go to, we got some heavy hitters on the line.
Okay.
Ah. All right. Let's, you know what?
I love when you stare aimlessly into the screen of callers.
Hi, how are you?
My little computer. Let's go to JC and Sack first. Hey. We'll wait on him.
What's up?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, JC?
Man, I said it before, I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not panicked because the division doesn't force us to be panicked, right? Yep. Now, yesterday, it was a win is a win is a win, right?
Exactly.
It wasn't the best. It wasn't the cleanest, but it's the NFL, and you take them how you get them. As far as Purdy, he was shaky in the first half, but he got his rhythm in the second half. So I like what I saw with him, a little bit of resiliency. Kyle Shanahan, he did a better job. I've been waiting for the wrinkles with Debo at the backfield as a receiver because he'll be better than any running back that we have, including C-Mac, as a receiver going out the backfield. So I like that wrinkle. The more screens, the more jet sweeps, I like that. I wish he would have stuck with the run a little bit more at times, especially to close out the game because that was a real head scratcher. I don't understand that at all. He would have got I mean, just demolished. If they would have lost that game with those three pass plays like that, I just don't understand that at all. But like I said, yeah, you know, it was a victory. I want guys to get healthy. Jordan Mason, I really want him to get healthy. I love what I saw from the running back Arendo. But sometimes I just feel like this team can't get out of its own way. And this is what I mean before I go. Like, in the offseason, it was the contracts, right? That was a distraction. You know, guys want to get paid. Then we got the injuries. Now that's a distraction. And it's like, okay, I don't understand what Nick Bosa is doing with the whole Make America Great Again, pushing that narrative. Like, bro, like, we don't need any tension in the locker room. Like, you guys are, you know what I'm saying, going into your bye week on a victory. We did the politics here before. Let that go. And I'm not for either way. I just feel like don't bring unnecessary distractions trying to promote something that you feel needs to be promoted. Like, man, come on, man. Let's come together as a team. We don't need any type of vibes like that at all. So, like, that's just one criticism I had. We've been here with the politics. That's over. Let it go.
Well,
and that's all I got to say, man.
All right, JC, good call. If within that locker room, I don't think the guys, like, there's probably a lot more guys who support that side of the party. There's a lot more guys who support another part of the party. But they're a team, and I don't think Nick Bosa's racist as well. I saw some of the tweets yesterday. Nick Bosa's he gets along with everybody. Within that locker room, I don't think it's going to be a big deal at all. They've handled much, much worse. But as far as the fans in this region and people who are casual football fans, obviously, they're going to take a bigger issue at it. And I saw the online, you know, responses to Nick Bosa wearing that hat kind of came out of nowhere. We know what that hat at times represents. But that's not going to bother the locker room, Shasky, what Bosa did last night.
I mean, within our own families, people have differing opinions on a variety of topics. I mean, I just did an event over the weekend where there were multiple politicians there, and there's lots of different people feel one way versus another way, whatever. It just, at the end of the day, it was a hat in a post-game interview for a split second. And if people are triggered online, I don't think that represents the locker room currently. No. I hear him on that, though. I do hear him on, like, because we did go through a very big thing with the Kaepernick saga and everything that happened there. Whether it was not handled properly, whatever. But, like, I get what his point is. Like, we have a bigger issue. We need to come together, unite, so we can try to accomplish a goal as a unit. Let's keep that out of it. I understand his point of view. I think the majority of people kind of feel that way.
Yeah.
Much ado about nothing.
And it was a heavy day yesterday. It was a heavy day with that rally in New York City. I'm not going to dive into it, but boy, Oh, boy. But people are allowed to vote who they want to vote for. I'm not going to get into politics. You know, one thing I mentioned on Twitter yesterday is that I try not to spend a second on politics on this show. Because I never realized until I started working for a school paper where I ran the sports section and we were having a lot of fun. And the news writers and the politician writers would just be, oh, my gosh. And I asked him, I said, why'd you guys want to write about this? Like, you guys one day wanted to be a news writer. Now, I respect all of them. They do a great job. Stephanie Rice is an old friend of mine. He used to write for the Chronicle at times. I go, why? This seems so damn stressful. So stressful. So, anyway.
I'll leave it here. I think that, you know, people are allowed to have their opinions and their platforms whatever. You can agree, disagree, whatever. I refuse to be triggered in either direction. I'm not going to be triggered by Greg Popovich and what he does or says. I know people like Steve Kerr and Steph Curry have had their points of view. I'm not going to be triggered on that side. I'm not going to be triggered on the opposite side when it's Nick Bosa or Tom Brady having a hat in his locker room, which has happened before. Right. Like, I'm here for sports.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many other outlets where everyone can go argue with themselves.
No doubt. No doubt about it. Let's go to, we'll get to Zach in San Diego in a second. Let's get Brian and Palo Alto. He actually went to the game. He didn't watch the game on his couch. He went to the game.
Were you on the sidelines, Brian?
Yeah, I was at the game. And
hold on, real quick, BPA. Where were you sitting? Were you 50-yard line, 10 rows up?
It's like the 20-yard line. My stepfather's tickets, maybe like 20-yard line on the 49ers side.
Nice.
And then, I think
Yeah, everyone was glad they didn't blow that fourth quarter lead because they, I didn't have a lot of confidence. As you guys have known, I've texted you multiple times this year, late in the fourth quarter, and said confidence in Nick Sirianni and Sorensen 0.0. And that was my confidence last night. And obviously glad they held up. But if they're gonna hold on to Sorensen as their DC, which I guess they're going to, they need some help on defense. Like, they're going to have to make some moves. Or obviously they could say, we don't care. Like, this isn't the year. We give up. But, like, yeah, I mean, their internal defensive line is subpar. It's not a very good defensive line right now. Man, their safeties miss a lot of tackles. They miss, probably between them, they probably miss 10 tackles between the two. And so, if they're going to be serious and say we want to contend, and you have a sort of marginal defensive coordinator doesn't really know what he's doing, then you're going to have to get him some more personnel. That's my take. They're just not good enough.
Can I interrupt on the safeties? I actually feel really good about the safeties. Yes, lots of missed tackles. There's no doubt. These guys are flying to the ball, especially Malik Mustafa. And he's going to have to, like we talked about Greenlaw doing this early in his career, he's going to have to slow down a little. But when this guy hits you, he separates guys from the ball. And if you're going to be a safety, I'm okay with giving up a big play here and there if you're making big plays. And they do get turnovers. Like, that's one thing. Like, Jair Brown's gotten some picks. Mustafa has separated some guys from the ball. I mean, he whapped one dude, and the tight end just dropped it on the ground and went right back to his hand. Could have easily been Niner ball. I hear you on the missed tackles. He does have to clean that up. But this, I think these two are ascending players. I do.
I think Mustafa is a young player, and you're going to have to live with some mistakes. But when you have two safeties, neither of whom are particularly fast or great in coverage, then they have to land their tackles, right? Like, you can't be a safety in the NFL and be like, yeah, he misses a lot of tackles. Oh, he must cover well. No, doesn't cover well either. That's just doesn't work. I mean, unfortunately, but you got to, if you're not a great speed safety or a cover safety, then you're going to have to make your tackles. It's just kind of the way it is. And just up the middle, safeties and defensive tackles, pretty soft.
Well, when it comes to defensive tackles, Denver continues to win football games. So maybe Sean Payton has this false hope that they're going to make the playoffs. And it's very possible with that defense. The defense is very, very good. Now, Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers, I mean, no Deontay Johnson, no Adam Thielen, backup offensive. I mean, they're a mess. That was a tough situation for the young man.
Did you see what J.C. Horn, the corner from Carolina, did to Sean Payton?
No, what'd he do?
At midfield, he walked over and was like, yeah, you trying to run up the score on us, basically, and like gave him a mouthful. And I was like, go J.C. Horn.
Sean Payton trying to run up the score?
Well, he thought that they did.
They ran a fake trick play up like 28 points and like got a touchdown off of it. That was like a fourth and one in midfield or something.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. Good for J.C. Horn. I mean, somebody's got to stand up to Sean Payton.
No doubt. So they're probably not going to trade DJ Jones. But the Colts, if they continue to lose, because God forbid they stay with Anthony Richardson. Oh, my God. He had a stat line at halftime. He was 2-13. I think he finished like 10-32. I'm watching him. I'm just like, he has no idea where the football's going.
10 of 32.
I mean, he couldn't even get off the Hail Mary at the end of the game. He looks up at the rush, and he's like, starts ducking for cover. Get him off the football field. He's not ready to play. You want to save your season? Those guys in that locker room, to hell with rebuilding. And, hey, we need to see if we have a quarterback for the future. Quentin Nelson don't give a damn. You know what I'm saying? Dallas don't give a damn. Michael Pittman Jr. doesn't care. Jonathan Taylor doesn't care. DeForest Buckner doesn't care. Now, if you want to continue to lose games, is Buckner on the move?
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
yeah, that's where I was kind of going.
Yeah, the speculation over the weekend from various outlets, again, I don't know how credible they are, but was that Buckner is on the move and the Niners have made a call.
I would love that.
I would love
to get Buck
Reunited.
Back.
Reunited.
And it feels so good. I would love to get Buck back. And I think, you know what? I think it's possible to go get number 99 and bring him back. I think it's very possible.
God, I would love that.
So they do need to shore up the interior defensive line. I'm cool with rolling with the young safeties, like you said. And look, on the second touch, CeeDee Lamb, when he got open, you see Renardo Gray and Jair Brown just collided with each other. You know? Your guys makes mistakes. They'll clean that up. I'm not going to freak out over it.
I will say that Nick Sorensen, after like the 17th consecutive CeeDee Lamb play, I mean, maybe we double him.
Just maybe.
Like, when you're up three scores, and again, I don't want to lose my mind, but when you're up three scores, I have zero problem. Like, you want to play prevent and let a team just throw underneath, fine, whatever. But, like, when it's one guy, I mean, it was clearly one guy, CeeDee Lamb. Come on now. Come on, Nick.
How long CeeDee Lamb?
Double him up.
How long will CeeDee Lamb be a Cowboy? 13 catches, 146 yards yesterday, two tugs, 17 targets. They've got no second option. Jake Ferguson, 6 catches, 22 Turpin. Yards. Tolbert is whatever.
Yeah,
Kavontae Turpin.
I mean, the guy, right at the beginning of the game, Rico Dowdle, they go, he's out with an illness, and he's standing on the sideline.
Right.
And then they go to Dalvin Cook, and I don't know, I guess it's a ginger shot that he was taking. Dalvin Cook's sitting there, and Tirico is like, and there's Dalvin Cook. And all of a sudden, he takes this shot, and he's like, and he's getting himself ready for the game. And I'm thinking, was that a Marshawn Lynch Hennessy shot, or was that a ginger shot?
No, that's my boy Dalvin. They don't do all that. By the way, his brother James Cook, he know me, I got a man. James Cook's my guy. I love James Cook. He ran all over Seattle yesterday. Oh, felt good. Every day, except for Arizona winning the damn game in South Beach, Miami, things kind of broke the Niners' way. They're right where they need to be. Let's go to... Zach in San Diego.
Hi, Zach.
Zach, what is it? The 619 down there? The 619, right?
Hey, man. How you guys doing this morning?
Not too bad.
I just want to chime in on a few things. You know, that defense, I mean, Sorensen's like a surfer dude that's waiting to smoke a joint as soon as the team has a 10-point lead. You know? Minus that. Team looked okay yesterday. I feel like Brandon Ayuk is still looking for pieces of his knee on that Levi turf.
When he hit the Sorensen, like smoking weed, I was like, all right, well,
I saw Spinotti getting ready. What? Spinotti was getting ready for the dump because he's like, just stop for 10 seconds.
Okay.
This is
going to get me mad because there's one thing.
Hold on,
someone gets hurt and their career is on the jeopardy, to make a joke of that, like, we can laugh a lot. I know, go. You know, just read it. That just said sick.
You need to contact Flooring Water Plumbing and join at flooringwater.net. I mean, it's just.
Come on, man. Whether you like Ayuk, don't like him, whatever, like, come on, man. Like, the guy's leg is really messed up. Why would you do that? Like, it's not funny. I'm sorry. I mean, it's not funny.
It's bringing Twitter to the airwaves because that's what Twidiots do. Not idiots, but Twidiots.
That's a four. I've never heard that before.
I stole that from Chris Mullen.
I knew it was Twidiots. Coming from Mully.
Twidiots, you know, because I saw people. I'm never going to go there, man. It's just.
We all know that the grossness that is out with the
Twitters. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
I don't want to blame it all those fans because there's a lot of good fans out there. There's a lot of really good fans out there, young, old, my age, a lot of good fans. But online and the internet has given a certain segment of fans, this false bravado that they could say anything about anybody at any time, and it is disgusting. So with Zach in San Diego, what he said, there's a lot of that. I get DMs about it, and I read some of this stuff, Instagram, Twitter, and people DM it thinking it's funny. And I'm just saying, damn, like, really? That's how you feel?
It's interesting because every day I open up that, you know, different apps and I realize in real life, you could get touched no matter who you are. I mean, ask Little Dirk, you know, things happen to people. I don't know why people talk so recklessly about others everywhere. It's just like, dude, dude, life is cruel.
You don't know. Life is cruel, but people do. Somebody called me an imbecile. I was talking about Brock Purdy, right?
Oh.
I was talking about Brock Purdy, and I blocked the
imbecile.
Guy.
Imbecile, that's like a 1990s insult.
Well, it was about the Spags.
Yeah.
It was about the Spags and the coach speak, and I was like, you know, that's just coach speak. You know, saying that Brock Purdy had no weaknesses. So what, is Brock Purdy the perfect quarterback? No, but I like Brock Purdy. I think it's a really good quarterback.
The old Sports Illustrated where you'd build the quarterback.
Yeah, you remember that?
Everything would be Brock Purdy.
Right, yeah, like he's the perfect quarterback. Oh, okay, great. And I was like, it's just coach speak. Spags, that's what coaches do. Belichick was known for that. Talking up a player and then addressing him on Sunday.
The arm of Drew Bledsoe with the legs of Randall Cunningham and the mind of Troy Aikman.
So, you know, people sort of say, well, name a weakness, Bonte. And one guy just came out of flat. whoever's listening to this imbecile, blah, 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 blah. And I actually replied to that one. And I told the guy, I said, look, man, you shouldn't call me something that you wouldn't call me if I was sitting right in front of you. And I'm not making a threat. I'm not saying that I will put hands on you. But don't act like if I see you, you're going to call me an imbecile to my face. That's not going to happen.
Well, again, this is where I think the detachment from reality, from the internet. In real life, people are nice. In real nice, people are happy. You go out and people are having a good time. Yes, there are whack jobs everywhere. I walk by Union Square every day. Trust me, I'm well aware. But the majority of people are kind and good people.
Not only that. And something happened in Orlando. Ben Simmons was walking by Brooklyn Nets, and the fan's like, Ben Simmons, you trash. And he turned around. And Dennis Schroeder went up to check him. And then you get some other people's like, oh, we're making ESPN. We're making ESPN. Just to try to get a reaction out of somebody. Calling it. And Ben Simmons turned around, and the fan got shook. We see Russell Westbrook running the suite saying, what'd you say, man? Don't say anything. Like, we'll say something now. Stand on it. So we do have a problem. We do have a problem with, like, there's just. It's a little too much access sometimes with some of these fans. And they think they're tough and not one of these players and knock them the hell out. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen with a reporter or a fan. Somebody's going to get knocked the hell out by an athlete. It's going to happen soon. Trayvon Diggs almost touched dude up yesterday.
I mean,
it's just for nothing. Yeah. Like, it's just a matter of time.
I know we're still reacting. Niners, big win over the Cowboys. 4-4. Get their season back on tracks. I've also got my eyes on a situation that's brewing in Milwaukee over the weekend. The wheels are starting to get put into motion. Oh. Don't know if you know this, but...
oh, I know.
Giannis is not happy with the Bucks.
Oh, I know.
We don't have an identity, he said to reporters after a loss to the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. Yeah, that team, the Brooklyn Nets, they lost to.
Well,
I've got my eye on that situation.
Well, not only did they lose to the Bucks, they lost to the Bulls Friday night at home. They lost to the Bulls.
So this could be like a monocle segment where I put the monocle on like it's Monopoly and I stare into the souls of the Milwaukee Bucks because I'm monitoring that situation.
Well,
just keep an eye on it.
No, when Giannis came out and said, if we don't win a championship, this franchise may trade me. That was his way of saying, hey, if we don't win a championship, I may want to throw up the deuces. And I'm not saying the Warriors are going to trade for Giannis and get Giannis. But the Warriors were also big name hunting this past offseason. And if Giannis and the Bucks want to do business, kind of like John Lynch and the 49ers, they'll always pick up the phone down to Chase Center. You better believe that. So I'm not even sure how much I like Giannis anymore. Is his jumper improved? But you don't say no to a talent like that.
As I said a month ago, Giannis at 50, Kuminga at 40.
Yeah, you're taking Giannis all day long.
Yes.
It's not a disrespect to not a disrespect to Jonathan Kuminga, but Chris Middleton.
It's the Dame Lillard trade, but regardless, Chris Middleton, just something to monitor. You know, we'll talk about it later this week.
No, there's something there. Not necessarily with the Warriors, but with Giannis wanting out in Milwaukee. He went out and said it. If we don't win the championship, I have a feeling this team's going to break it up and we may be traded. Oh, really? You have intel on that. And Jimmy Haslam runs that team, the owner of the Cleveland Browns. He's also the owner of the Bucks. Yeah, there could be something there. All right, Doc in Oakland. Doc, what's happening? You're on a roast.
Is it Doc Rivers?
Call us back.
Call back.
Robert in Fremont. What's happening, Robert?
Hey, this is Robert, and I just wanted to say good morning to you guys. And the only thing I wanted to kind of get an idea about is the two touchdowns by C.D. Lamb. I mean, I didn't get to watch the whole game, but I watched that part of it. It was like kind of worried about it. I know we won, but I mean, you know, how do you do that? Was it a coaching error or was it just like, you know, they look like, when you play high school football or, you know, backyard football, he was so wide open. You know, I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, Renardo Green and Jair Brown ran into each other on one of the touchdowns. Just simply ran into each other. The other touchdown looked like it was a coverage bust, and it's going to happen with a young secondary. But it's better that it happens when you're up 17 points as opposed to a close game. And you know what? The Cowboys had the ball back with 3 minutes left. And what happened? That defense stood tall. and they shut down the Dallas Cowboys. So that secondary gets credit, man. They got their act together in a nick of time yesterday down at Levi's Stadium. So there's going to be mistakes with Renardo Green. He's a rookie. Teams are going to pick on him. Jair Brown, second-year player. They're going to pick on him. Malik Mustafa. They're going to pick. But Malik Mustafa made a hell of a play in the end zone early in that game.
Yeah.
In the red zone.
Yeah.
He made a hell of a play covering. So they're getting better by the snap. And I'm with the 405 here. Speaking of these young players and these rookies, 405 wants to shut out Mustafa, Renardo Green, Dominic Pooney, Isaac Garrido. We haven't even seen Tatum Bethune yet. I think he's going to be a factor for the Niners, whether it's this year or next season. I think he's going to be next one of these up-and-coming linebackers for the Niners. A lot of people say Lynch can't draft. I beg to differ. They've done a great job of drafting. Great job. These youngsters are helping out. And we haven't seen the best of Ricky Pearsall and Jake McGowan yet.
Yeah, if you don't think the Niners are good at drafting, look at the Cowboys. And I think the Cowboys actually have a good roster, like top end, but where they're missing is all the depth. And the Niners have clearly done a really good job in the middle to late rounds the last couple of years finding depth. Look at all these contributors that you're referencing.
Yep.
Lots of them. D. Winters is another guy who played last night. He had a couple of nice plays.
He did. He did. He got concussed.
Was that on the special teams play?
Yeah, that was a wild
Wasn't
play.
Wasn't that incredible? They, on four different occasions, they tried to run like a fake reverse on the kick return. It was very weird.
Well, no, it was doing your scouting saying this Niners special teams unit is a disaster.
That's true. That's true.
That's what that was about.
And then, was it Tolbert? Whoever was the return guy, I don't know if it was Turpin or Tolbert, he like bobbled Turpin. One of them.
Yeah.
The ball hit the ground three times yesterday, and the team that fumbled it picked it up every time. Purdy and then two for Dallas.
Who was the collision with Winters? He was it Jair Brown getting blocked out of bounds?
Yeah.
And the helmet just bam!
It just crushed him.
After having the hit on the sideline. Boom, boom. So hopefully he's going to be okay there. We never take concussions lightly. Let's go to Alamo and Richmond. Alamo, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Good, good. Hey, a little recap real quick. I thought the game yesterday was interesting, despite the little meltdown in the fourth quarter with the CeeDee Lamb touchdowns. As you before mentioned, that when you have young folk out there, young DBs out there, these things are going to happen. Good thing it wasn't a closer game. Anyhow, looking at Mason, and I'm really concerned about this injury that he sustained in Seattle, and now he's re-injured it. And I like this young man. I like 31. I like that guy. Really speedy. Really gritty, get it done. Next man up mantra is what the Niners team has been as of late. You talked about Winters being injured with the concussion. That could be an issue as well. The penalties. We got to shore up the penalties. We look like the Oakland Raiders out there yesterday in regards to that. As a matter of fact, we lost plus 80 yards on behalf of those penalties. And then we had a touchdown by Debo, of course, called back. But Kyle seems to be dialed in. I don't know what he told them in the locker room before the second half began, but whatever he told them, it seemed to work. The Niners begin to play Niner ball. And this is what we're expecting all the time when the Niners step on the field, is to be consistent and play hard.
You know, the Mason thing that you bring up is an intriguing one. I noticed maybe a week or two ago when he came back from the initial shoulder injury, he wasn't as low to the ground and finishing his runs. He just felt like a tick hesitant. And because I'm a big Jordan Mason fan, he didn't look right. He clearly was afraid of getting blasted on that shoulder. And yesterday, he didn't look right either. And it felt like Garrido has gotten more and more and more comfortable every single week. I just thought he was hitting the hole a little better and clearly got way more juice when it comes to just pure speed. Garrido looks really good right now.
No, he does look really good. I'm not going to lie to you. He sidetracked me a little bit.
With Giannis?
Yeah, because today is October 28th, and the Bucks are in Boston to play the Celtics tonight, 4:30 p.m. Now I will be locked in on that game, alongside Monday Night Football. But they play the Celtics, then they play the Grizzlies, then they have two games against the Cavaliers. Oh, my gosh. And Doc Rivers, not how we feel about Doc Rivers. You got Darvin Ham on that sideline as well. I think this Giannis thing, I think it's legit.